Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Chadio. How are you doing tonight, brother?
Brother, I saw you in on the live, but you didn't jump in on the big screen.
We only had about 15 minutes left. I wanted to make sure I got the computer up and going, and I made a video right quick just telling people to tune into the show and figured I would get on here and make sure everything was set up. It's a shame Ant had a Newsmax conference tonight, but man, I would not pass up Newsmax for Patriots United myself. So,
well, not right now, at least. But eventually, you know, they'll be regretting that decision. But you know, I'm happy for them. I'm happy for anybody, you know, that's building their brand and you know, he's a well-known conservative. And, you know, we appreciate him. I would do the same. But, you know, all things happen for a reason. We got a great guest lined up in his stead. And, you know, he's very well-versed in Canadian politics. And, you know, when Kim sent me his information, I started with, what? I see him all the time. I didn't even know I wasn't following him. And then I felt embarrassed because, you know how it is sometimes with TikTok. You get overwhelmed with follow requests and you know, all these things. But, you know, I come into the show. We had Liberty and Logic. I was just talking with her. I really love her content. She's very, you know, balanced. And Canadian girl there, Republican girl, I forget her name too. I'm really bad with TikTok names, but you know, she knows who she is. She got, you know, anything that want to bring us together. I that's the kind of content I love on here, you know?
Yep. Absolutely, man. Yeah. I love Liberty and Logic. That girl is a fireball. She's definitely a fireball, and she's all about unity, man. She wants everybody to come together, and that's what we need to be doing in times like this. It's a shame that they keep us divided.
What's your thoughts on her, Kim? Have you had a chance to watch some of her content?
I absolutely love her. Absolutely love her. Did you catch me tonight in your live, Chad, when you called Patriot Smoothie Patriot Squishy or something?
Chad and his TikTok name.
I'm like, oh, no, it's Patriot Smoothie. I'm like, oh, Chad. Chad should be the creator of TikTok names because, my God, he comes up with some great ones.
He definitely likes to hack them.
Oh, yes, but that's okay.
You know, when it comes to somebody's real name, I know them. I like to call them by name. I like to address them by name. You know, some of these TikTok names are very hard for me to remember, and I try my best to remember people because I want to address them. You know, I want to give them the proper respect, and it's hard. I mean, it was hard for me and Michael for a long time. Three rows, more hole. I had a hard time, you know, even as a Christian, saying that. And, you know, when I start to put it together, like you're in landscaping, and I start to figure out, oh, maybe it's like holes in the ground. I don't know. I never did ask.
That's pretty funny.
Well, I'll be changing it up. As soon as they ban my next account, I'll be changing my name to something else at least. Always got to stay on the move, but we'll see what it is next. But.
So, yeah, we've got a great show tonight, really good show. It was unfortunate with Ant, but I totally respect his, you know, to go with that. But, yeah, we've got Patriot Smoothie on with us tonight. And, yeah, he is a great guy, great content.
Great job, Miss Kim. Great job getting him in.
No worries. It was help with Jimmy helped me out, and, yeah, we got it done. We got her done.
Got her done.
You know, and it's good because we got a lot to talk about tonight. I would like to talk about, you know, let's look at the bipartisan. I laugh when you use that, bipartisan. It's the same bunch of rhinos down there. You know, there's nothing bipartisan about taking away the Second Amendment. There's nothing bipartisan about it. So, you know, we talk about that tonight. And, of course, Mr. Trudeau up here, you know, he's worse than hiding Biden. Anytime something comes up, he gets COVID or, you know, it's an absolute disgrace. So what's your thoughts on this bipartisan agreement there, Michael?
Nothing's bipartisan with those guys. There's not even a difference in between them. I'm starting to learn. I think these guys, they argue in front of the cameras. It's kind of like the WWE. They go out there, argue in front of the cameras with each other and tell each other how bad each other are, but then they get behind closed doors and they laugh and they shake hands and they make fun of the American people. They make fun of the Canadian people, and I think it's ridiculous. And our Second Amendment, you want to piss off some people, that's where you're going to do it at. You go messing with our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and that's where you're going to mess up. They need to really think about what they're doing there, because people are very, very, very adamant about their freedoms, and we're not giving those up. The Second Amendment was not written for hunting. It was not written for self-protection. It was written for a tyrannical government. And for a government like what we're facing right now. So we're not giving up our rights, and they're going to have to back off because they're just going to start problems.
Well, especially in a time where people are already on edge. You know, like I said in one of my videos with the Second Amendment, people are saying, you know, why is everybody so up in arms about this? They don't realize that Constitution, you see, us here in Canada, we have a lot that depends on America. If America falls, we all fall. I mean, we're in a world of hurt. We're in a world of trouble. So, yes, we have a vested interest in what happens in American politics, at least I do. And, you know, when it comes to the Constitution, that is what the country is built on. That is what it's based on. So, you know, they cannot destroy America by taking it. No government in this world is going to try to invade America, right? So what they're going to do is they're going to try and take the Constitution, break it up, then you got nothing to stand on. You know, the Second Amendment guarantees the rest of them.
It's amazing to me how many people are just willing to give up our rights. Did you see the video where the Florida congressman or the Florida mayor is saying, bring in your guns and we'll pay you for your guns and we'll send them to Ukraine? That's fucking insanity. Let's send guns to another country. We're going to send guns to another country, but we don't want guns here. It's insanity. It's all insanity. And like I said, I can't believe how many people are willing to just literally give their rights up for what they think is some safety, because it's not safety. It's insanity. As soon as we give up our rights, they can do whatever the fuck they want to with us. And that's all there is to it. That's what they've done in every country before. Anytime anybody gives up their guns, completely tyrannical. That's where it goes. Communism, socialism, totalitarianism. I mean, it's all the same.
Well, you know, the problem that they have there is, you know, what's there, 400 million weapons in America or something like that? How are you ever going to get rid of that? You know, you think people are just going to they can put whatever bill they want through Congress and the Senate, and they can do whatever they want to do, but people who own the guns are not giving them up. It's just not happening. You know, here in Canada, they tried a little sneaky thing like the gun registry. You know, when you start seeing those things come out, you watch out, because that's what they want you to do, is the good law-abiding citizens to register their guns so then they know where to come get them.
That's exactly. Why else would they want a registry? Why else would they want to know where every one of them is? You know, they're coming out with these red flag laws where you can basically call in on your neighbor or call in on somebody that you think that you see is unfit or unstable to own guns, and then within 24 hours they have the rights to go in and take away your guns and basically hold a trial without you. And I mean, it's getting crazy. It's getting scary. And people really need to step back. You know, in 2020, there was 21.4 million guns sold. That was a historical record. The next record was set in 2021, where there was 19.9 million guns sold. That was the next record. Before that, it was 2016, and before that, it was like 2012, I think. So people bought guns in a historical number last year and the year before, because the government wasn't doing what they were supposed to do, and they're not protecting their people. They're letting people run around cities and burn down towns, burn down businesses, go into neighborhoods and, you know, scare the shit out of people. People bought guns because they are afraid that the government won't protect them. And it wasn't just conservatives buying guns. These, you know, a big percentage of that number were first-time gun buyers. It wasn't people that already had guns. They already had their guns. These were all new gun owners, new gun buyers. So it definitely tells you people aren't ready to give up their guns. There may be some liberals out there screaming and telling us to, but people aren't ready to, that's for sure.
Well, you know, people forget, many people are even unaware that there was a Supreme Court decision in New York with a police officer, you know, that come down and said that the police are no obligation to give their life to protect yours. So if the police are not under obligation to step in and help you, and that was had to do with a case pending. I think someone was jumped on the subway getting stabbed, and the police officer stood by and did nothing. So, you know, he didn't want to put his life on the line, and the Supreme Court ruled and said that police officer didn't have to. So when you have laws, you know, like that, and you have police that won't protect you, you have government that won't protect you, then a man is left to defend himself, defend his house, and defend his family. So unless people have another solution, I mean, the Second Amendment is where it's at.
That's where it's at. That's the only solution we have. And that piece of paper was written, and those articles were filed in 1778. And they have done this country good. They've kept this country in a constitutional republic. I know they like to say we're a democracy, but it's kept us in a constitutional republic for a couple hundred years now almost. And, you know, if people are really willing to sign those papers away, those rights and those bills away, then they should move to another country. This is America. And that's what our country was founded on, and I'm not ready to let it go, and I don't think, you know, there's millions of people just like me, and I'm not letting it go. I'm a constitutionalist. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a libertarian. I'm not a liberal. I'm not any of those things. This country was founded on the Constitution, and that's what I go by.
You know, I find it interesting that, you know, Chuck Schumer could get up there and spew his nonsense about, you know, the Supreme Court justice, they will pay for ruling against abortion and, you know, make all these violent threats. Meanwhile, Trump said, let's walk down peacefully, and they go after him. Like, I mean, you know, do Democrats, and I'm not talking about good, honest, hardworking Democrats. I'm talking about the corrupt Democrats in America. Do they ever get arrested? And if they do, how do they get away all the time?
Nancy Pelosi's husband just basically got off of all that shit, you know? Hunter Biden has a gun that he bought that he lied on a federal registration. You don't see that in the news. They had to, the FBI had to go dig his gun out of a dumpster behind a restaurant. Like, but if that would have been Trump or Trump Jr., that would have been fucking on every news outlet everywhere in America. They would have been demonizing him, and they would have been talking about it. But since it was Hunter Biden, once again, let's snuff it. Let's not talk about it, and any of these people get away with it. Lori Lightfoot called for violence as well. She said that they should be up in arms over the SCOTUS, over that stuff. So they literally, and Trump says we should go down there peacefully and let our voices be heard, and all of a sudden that's an insurrection. These people are spending millions of our dollars, just like they did on the Trump-Russia collision. They're just spending our money on nonsense. It's fucking ridiculous. Our government was taken over in November of 2020, and that is not the United States government. That is tyranny. And once people realize that is not our government, and that's not who speaks for the American people, maybe we can get somewhere.
Well, you know, Maxine Waters, I mean, let's not forget her. I mean, she openly called for an insurrection. You know, all these Democrats, they come out and they did it. But meanwhile, if somebody else, I mean, they try to hang them. I was on the live earlier tonight, and, you know, I got on Trump, and I get pretty fired up. You know, because I don't care. I don't care who likes it, who don't like it. Listen, Donald Trump, to me, when I see a man stand and love his country, I can't help but like the person. You know, and people say, well, you know, he was morally corrupt. He was this, he was that, you know, and that may be so, but I don't think America elected him to be pastor. You know, they elected him to do a job. He had one of the greatest economies. You know, you can't argue of his accomplishments. And people got to remember he was surrounded by swamp rats. So, you know, someone said he was a criminal. I said, tell me how.
You know, when you have a man that's the most investigated man in history, you have a special counsel, you have Senate after Senate investigating this, investigating that. They're still investigating. You had DAs run on investigating Donald Trump, and yet they have nothing. And if they do ever find something now, you know, I would deeply, deeply question it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But then you've got Hillary Clinton getting away with murder, literally. I mean, who has 50-something friends that have committed suicide? I mean, anybody you know?
Well, you know, and the latest one was was the one that took the cake. They had someone that it was a advisor to Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton, I think it was, and they found him. The cause of death was suicide. He had a shotgun blast to the chest, and he was hanging. It makes no sense.
That's pretty hard to shoot yourself in the stomach after hanging yourself to commit suicide. That's amazing. Yeah, if that guy was still alive, you know, he could come up with some pretty good inventions. It's insane. It really is.
But see, when really you is. Own the judges, that's what I was saying earlier. You know, when you got like George Soros investing in small town politics, into the mayors, into the sheriffs, into the local DAs, you know, these things should never ever be allowed, because he realized on a mass scale he's not getting the accomplishments he wants, so now he's trying at a local level. People forget that George Soros made his living by bankrupting countries, so anywhere his dirty little fingers are, you can bet he's causing trouble.
You can literally get on the internet, you can even find it on Google still, just videos of George Soros in the 80s and the 90s talking about his agendas and his plans and what he's done in other countries. And he literally tells you that he's bankrupted other countries. He laughs about this stuff. He laughs about it. And he says that he does these, I mean, to make money. He doesn't lie about it. He tells you straight up that he's gotten filthy rich off of bankrupting companies or bankrupting other countries. And, I mean, there's videos everywhere. That man is pure fucking evil. If you looked in the dictionary and you looked up George Soros, the definition would be pure fucking evil. I mean, he's the devil's brother. There's a lot of them, but that guy is literally, he is evil.
Well, I mean, listen, you got him, we got Bill Gates, you know, people, the world is listening to Bill Gates. Where the hell did he get a doctorate degree? You know, probably the same place as Dr. Jill Biden, I guess.
Exactly.
You know, that's how messed up we are. We're letting people like that tell us about the vaccines, you know, and for once I start to think about it, I agree with the liberals for once. We should follow the science, because when you follow the science, you're going to find the money.
Yeah, you're going to find the money. We know where the money is. We know where all of our money's gone. We know where all these billions of dollars that they're sending over Ukraine, we know what it's for. It's insane. And we have a caravan of, I think they said, 30-something thousand migrants. I'll have to check again. I've been out of the loop doing the family reunion and stuff this last weekend, but we have a huge caravan headed to the border right now. And they're doing nothing to stop it. But I read a couple articles earlier where they stopped a couple of child trafficking rings down there. They save what, 6-7 kids? How many thousands of kids are slipping through that border? They don't care. That's what they want. They don't give a shit about our borders, but let's go save Ukraine's borders. Let's make sure that they're protected while we are being infiltrated. It makes no sense to me unless it was just done on purpose, and that's exactly what it is. You have several congressmen up there talking about it now and saying that this is all being done on purpose. They're not saying that Joe Biden is incompetent. They're saying that this is all being done on purpose now. And the more that say that, maybe the more people will actually listen, because people think that Joe Biden's just incompetent. He's just an old fuck that belongs in a retirement home. But that's not the case. He's not running things, and this is all by design. Every bit of it is by design. They've been designing it for years, and they've been telling us about it for years. So maybe when people actually realize that Joe Biden – go ahead.
Well, you look at even Lindsey Graham, you know, got caught on the hot mic. You know, they picked Joe Biden because he was the only one the party had that was electable. I mean, Kamala Harris, she came out as the front runner until Tulsi Gabbard absolutely destroyed her. And, you know, all of a sudden she was polling at 1%. Joe Biden, he was losing everywhere he went. And all of a sudden he gets a big boost because we know they got the Dominion voting machines. We know the primaries are rigged. It's an absolute disgrace, but it is what it is. The primaries are rigged. You only think – this is how these incumbents constantly are always in, you know, because you don't have a choice. It's an illusion of a choice.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Right now we have the illusion of freedom. You know, we think that we're free because we can go to work or we can go to the store and buy the things that we want. But literally, our freedoms have been infringed for a long time. And literally, we have the illusion of whatever they want to give us the illusion of. You hit the nail on the head with that one, because whatever goggles they tell us to put on, that's the goggles that we're wearing. And when they own the media and they own every bit of every source of news, then that's the goggles you wear.
Well, who was that? They had, I don't know, 30 people or something arrested. They found, you know, white supremacists on the way in a rental van. I only caught clips of the story. But, you know, first thing that caught me was they were all sitting there in handcuffs on their knees. And every one of them looked, you know, FBI-ish, if you could put it lightly. And all with their mask on. You know, a full, like, you know, if you're going to arrest someone, you're going to want to know the identity of that person. You're not going to have them all lined up in handcuffs with full mask on hiding their identity. I mean, you want to talk about a fake sellout scene. I mean, to me, that was one of them.
Go back to January 6th and watch those videos from January 6th. These fuckers are wearing the same shirts, the same pants, the same hats, the same mask on their face as those dudes were on the, you know, insurrection. That's exactly what it is, a bunch of Fed boys. And these guys, what's so fucked up is they can't even get away with their plans anymore. We're catching them, and we're exposing them as they happen. So, I mean, eventually, where are we going to stop at? Because literally, we stop them, and we expose them as they're happening. The Uvalde shooting down there, you know, four kids, you know, I hate to even talk about it, but every bit of it was exposed, all the corruption, all the bullshit. It was all exposed within 24 hours because of citizen journalists, because people like us that want to get to the truth, and we're not going to wait for the MSM to tell it to us. And so every bit of their plans are getting exposed, and we know that those were Fed boys. I am patriotic as fuck. I have, like you, almost 100,000 followers on my page at one time. Not one time have I ever had a group of guys contact me and say, hey, let's all put on our brown cargo pants, our blue shirts, some masks, and get in the back of a U-Haul truck and go down and fight D.C. with sticks. Not once has that happened to me. Has that happened to you, Chad?
No, sir. You know, I get a lot of comments you see on there, locked and loaded, and I understand people's frustrations, you know, but that's what I see is that's what they want us to do. They want us. That's why you have these little fans. They want to motivate people to get out and do something, and they're pushing and they're pushing and they're pushing because, you know, they've ran every computer simulation. They know how these things are going to work. You know, we got to think outside the box. We got to get into politics more. You know, we got to come together as community. We got to look out for our neighbor. Get back to the way it used to be. You know, back in the good old days, back in the country where neighbor looked out for neighbor, where there was no left or right. The politicians is what makes the left and right. Meanwhile, they're all together in on it, up there laughing at you and I. There's no Democrat or Republican in Washington, D.C. They're all friends. You look. I mean, you got Lindsey Graham there, corrupt to the core. And any of our Canadian listeners listening in, we're talking a little bit about the American politics because, you know, our guest is very well-versed on Canadian politics. So, you know, we're going to probably spend the last half of the show on Canadian politics. But who knows? He might be very big on American, too. So let's see.
Yeah. I'm with you 100%. These guys, they just get away with murder. They're getting away with everything. It's definitely, I'm with you. I have people telling me all the time, like you said, lock and loaded, let's do this, let's do that. But I still have yet to have a group of guys contact me and say, hey, let's jump in a U-Haul van in our coordinated gear. And it's just ridiculous. We know that all this is fake. And like you said, it's to incite something. They're trying to get people aroused. They're trying to get people to step up and to start that. It's another way of them attacking our Second Amendment. They're gonna say that all these patriots are you know, there's gonna be insurrections everywhere basically, and we're gonna keep seeing mass murders. We're gonna keep seeing these shootings until they get what they want or until they're all exposed. But I'm still not giving up my guns. I'm not giving up my Second Amendment.
That is the problem I have, you know, and we hear a lot about, you know, misinformation. Our prime minister here in Canada is famous. That's all that comes out of his mouth. I believe he talks in his sleep, follow the science, misinformation, disinformation. I literally believe he mumbles that. Maybe that's why his wife left him. She got tired of listening to him talk in his sleep because, you know, honestly, so we were supposed, he sat up, you know, and told people in Parliament that it was the police officers that asked for this emergency act. He got up and he said it, and then he talked about the Nazi flag. They talked about patriots down there trying to burn down apartment buildings, all of these things, and they weren't true. So if you have that as your information, how could society work? You know, it's nothing more than pure propaganda and pure lies. I would take misinformation, disinformation. If once something comes out as a lie, the government has to publicly come out and say, yeah, we got that one wrong. I'm a liar or whatever, you know. But it's always trying to cover the truth. That's why we never had a term misinformation until the truth started coming out.
No, we didn't. And you're absolutely right. They should have to come on the news almost every night and say, hey, we were wrong. This was right. We told you the wrong thing. But they don't. They are not accountable for shit. And they've been made that way. The laws were changed in the last few years to make it that way. They don't have any accountability. There's none whatsoever. And when you don't have actual freedom of press and you don't actually have a mainstream media or people doing real journalism, then that's all you're going to get is fed propaganda. And that's what we've been getting for the last 5 to 10, 20 years. It's gotten definitely worse in the last few years, but we've been getting fed propaganda for a long time, since I was born. I know that because I can remember from the time I was a little kid, Russia bad, Russia bad, Russia bad, and that's all I ever heard. And I don't really believe that. We've got Patriot Squishy in the chat room. This is Patriot Squishy here. There you go, Chad. Oh, my God.
Well, just before we bring him in, back on that misinformation, you know, we found out through Twitter with Elon Musk that Joe Biden had 21 million false followers. You know, why did they have to go and prop him up through these left-leaning apps? So they propped him up on Twitter. They had to remove the dislike button from YouTube. He couldn't get 200 people to a gathering, and yet they want us to believe that 81 million people voted for him. And they tried to push that so hard, and they think people are going to forget about it. But it's not really that simple, you know, and I just wish people would start questioning things. And now in saying that, Kim, why don't you introduce our guest?
So I'm going to introduce our guest as his proper name. His name is not Patriot Squishy. And there is no disrespect meant, John. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. This is Patriot Smoothie. He has amazing content. If you're not following him on TikTok, you should be. He is like his own little show all on his own. So, John, welcome to the show. Hello, John?
He's waiting for you to call out Patriot Squishy. Patriot Squishy, are you on the line?
No. He was there. Let me just text him real quick. He's there. I don't know.
It says he may need to call back in again like last week. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, you guys continue on. Oh, yeah, he's just dropped. He's coming back in. Yeah, you guys can just continue.
Oh, you were talking about the Joe Biden and all this false stuff about Joe Biden. I ask any of you to go back onto YouTube and look at all of Joe Biden's, all of his deals before he got elected, before they had when he was campaigning. If you go back and look at the crowd. Every one of them is driving a brand new Jeep or a brand new Chevy truck. That what they did is it looks like they got dealerships to bring their cars down there and drop them off, and then they just had people go out there and sit in these cars while he was up there campaigning because he couldn't draw a crowd. Literally, go back and look, Chad, tonight, and you will see what I'm talking about. His celebration speech after he was, fakely elected, it's literally all Jeeps out in the parking lot. Every one of them is a brand-new Jeep out there. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's insane. But he couldn't draw a crowd, like you said, so they go and get a dealership to bring in their cars to make it look like there's people out there. It's insane.
Well, it's embarrassing is what it is. You got a man up sitting on the world stage that's bumbling. I don't know how Putin would even take it serious. I mean, I think Putin even come out and call Joe Biden out. And, I mean, the guy was at the White House gathering that they had there, and everybody was gathered around Obama and everybody else, and here the President of the United States was wandering around like a demented old man, and I actually felt bad for him for half a second.
Yeah, you start to feel bad until you start thinking about his brother owning an island next to Epstein Island and all the flights that they took over there and all the bullshit on Hunter's laptop, and then you just get pissed off again. Because, all the corruption, all the bullshit, the man belongs in a nursing home. Simple as that. He should be in a nursing home living out his days, shit in the bed, having, young girls clean him up and give him sponge baths. And instead they've got him parading around, looking lost. And it is sad, but they all need to be in prison is where he needs to be. He should be living out his life in prison next to Bubba.
Well, the sad thing is he probably liked Bubba, but, in Guantanamo Bay, I mean, he should be over there. I mean, you look at, I saw a video going around that was supposedly taken from Biden's laptop, and it was a picture of Joe Biden standing up there with a whip and a young girl. Now, again, it could be misinformation. You don't know, but there is a lot of truth that did come out on that laptop, and we know the corruption that Hunter Biden was up to with the young girls and the note to his own niece. These people are sick pedophiles. They go, and they get away with it. We sit by and nothing gets done, and they laugh, and they own the courts, they own the judges, they own the juries. I mean, you can indict a ham sandwich over in Washington, D.C., but you can't convict nobody. I don't get it.
Yeah, there's no convictions going on. Go ahead, Kim.
Okay, sorry, I didn't want to cut you off. All right, so we've got John Petrie's smoothie on the line, and I think everything is working now. Are you there, John?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can.
There we
Welcome
go.
To the show.
Okay, thank you.
where are you from, John?
Born and raised in Ottawa, to be honest with you.
Born and raised in Ottawa. There you go. There you go. And so you're in the capital city. What did you tell the people, what it is you do for a living?
Okay. I figured this question would come up. I'm actually, by trade, a commercial truck driver. Well, bus driver, truck driver, all everything. Everything that has wheels and drives on a highway that's not a motorcycle. That's what I do.
Awesome. Very respectable. We love what you do, and I appreciate it. John, I'm Three Rows. Nice to meet you, brother.
Nice to meet you, brother.
Yes, sir.
So what?
What else you got for
me, Chad? What do you... Well, I want to know what he thinks of this Trudeau and his new case of COVID.
Oh, man. what can we say about this other than it's the same old song and dance as always? I mean, wow.
Well, you know, John, you know, brother, you feel at home. You're on the show, you know. When you feel a rant coming on, brother, listen, the line is yours, and we're not on TikTok, so you can say whatever it is you really want to say, nothing holding you back to say it. You know, sometimes people come on the show and they get a little nervous beneath them. I'm not saying you are, but if you are, I just want you to feel at home. And really, you know, like you dive into your TikToks, man, and they're just awesome. You know, feel free to just let it loose, brother.
Sure, absolutely. No problems with any of that. I'm actually literally quite mild in my position. Obviously, we know Justin Trudeau, he's a liar, right? So this COVID thing is just a convenient excuse for him. It's not real. Like, I very much doubt that he has any kind of COVID, you know, whatever reality COVID is. He's just bringing it up because the temperature is rising for him in our Senate. Our Canadian senators are being really rough on him right now. And we had that report from the Hill Times that recently dropped saying that a majority of the Liberal caucus wants the Prime Minister to move on with these mandates. What do you think about that?
And you know, I did see that report, and I saw your TikTok on it. I thought it was a really good job the way you brought it out there. You know, and that's what is happening. I mean, I said a long time ago, people are ready to give Trudeau the boot. Even the Liberals of this country has had enough of him. They could see that he's taking them down a dangerous, dangerous path. I mean, what do you think of the BC Liberals right now?
I'm not too familiar with what's happening there. I did hear that they're changing their name, but can you blame them? Like, who would want to be associated with that train wreck? You know, the Federal Liberal Party. Like, what a joke they are.
Absolutely.
I mean, I totally understand why they're changing their name.
Well, you know, I mean, you look in Ontario, I mean, the provincial Liberals, I mean, they didn't even make party status. I mean, they got so destroyed that, you know, that must have been a wake-up call for the federal Liberals, for sure. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, absolutely. It's no coincidence that within a 2 weeks of that, we get this story breaking from a mainstream source that the Liberal caucus is pressuring the federal government internally, of course. They're not going to be brave and step out on the limb, but they are doing it internally. So my thoughts on that are Stephen Del Duca is an embarrassment. You know, he completely destroyed the Liberal Party, so I very much appreciate him and his service to us and to advancing Canada, but other than that, like, good riddance to him. Hit the road, Jack, you know? Awesome.
Well, you know, you hear me talk a lot about American politics, and, you know, I'm well-versed in American politics. I never really paid much attention to our own, but I didn't know, and maybe many of our listeners don't know, but the people of the Liberal Party or whatever party can't vote against their own party. They can talk about their opposition in private room, but they got to vote in line with the leaders. Do you know about that?
Sure. So actually, that is correct. So it's called a whip vote, and each party has a whip. And if a vote's going to be a whip vote, anyone who would go against that vote, if they voted, say, across the aisle, they could be disciplined in different ways. So our party system is very much anti-individual, anti-constituent. It's all about the party, right? So in those circumstances, in a whipped vote, the party members are obligated to vote party lines. And we know Joel Lightbound, obviously, the member of parliament there, very vocal liberal against the mandates of Trudeau and the EMA and everything. We know from him speaking out what happened, he lost all of his committee assignments, just a total disaster. And so obviously the other liberals kind of saw that. They're not going to risk their necks. They want to make money. They want to be politicians. In the United States, I'm not sure how that works in the Congress, but in Canada, absolutely, we have controlled party votes. They're called whip votes. And further than that, like when the Emergencies Act came in, Justin Trudeau made it a de facto confidence motion. So if that motion was defeated, it would have very likely forced an election. And as you know, the NDP federal party in Canada is broke. Last I heard, they have under $1 million in the bank federally. That's how much money they have. And the Liberal Party isn't that much better. So they did not want another election, so they voted for the Emergencies Act, and then we had the supply coalition with the NDP and the Liberals. What a nightmare our country is in right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, that was a little stunt he did on the NDP. And, you know, it made sense now that, you know, they can't vote against their party leader. You know, it makes sense how Trudeau is allowed to get away with all the stuff he's getting away with. It makes sense why the NDP is stuck supporting Jagmeet. You know, what people need to do is force a leadership review. I think we're soon heading for a vote of non-confidence. I think we're going to be heading on that road. I think the NDP and the Liberals are going to be obsolete.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Like, they're in trouble internally. And I just want to pivot real quick from that, because you mentioned American politics, and I have a question for you. You say you don't pay very much attention to Canada, and I have to admit, before 2021, I was very much the same, living in Ottawa, Ontario my whole life, but never knew nothing about Canadian politics because it's boring. I mean, it was boring anyways, not anymore. So in particular, like, what do you follow in the U.S. politics?
Well, like for me, and then I'll let Michael answer after me, but for me, I got involved with Donald Trump. When I saw how the media was portraying him and how corrupt he were, we got some noise on the line there. Is that from you, Kim?
Oh, sorry, I'm actually muted.
No, I'm muted.
What's that? Okay. There's just a bit of static online there. But, you know, when I was watching what they were doing to Donald Trump and how corrupt they were and how they were twisting the news, and I was seeing, you know, both sides of it sitting over here, I got really invested. And I saw what the FBI did, McCabe, when I saw all these things, Andy McCabe and the two lovers there, when I saw that the police and the courts and you know, Russia, I, you know, it became like a soap opera to me. How about you, Michael?
Yeah, I've been following American politics forever, you know, because I live in Texas, so that's where I'm at, Patriot Smoothie, hence the Patriots United, you know, Canadians and Americans uniting to fight tyranny and bring, you know, wake people up. But I've been a, you know, so-called conspiracy theorist since probably, I would say since 9/11, but I wasn't really questioning them. I thought there's no way that you know, the governments or anything would do anything like that against their own people, and so I really didn't become too much of a conspiracy theorist, so-called, until I'd say 2008, 2009, when we were in the recession and things were going on, and I just, you know, started looking into why we were there, and then Obama coming in and Silver Tongue, and I just started paying really close attention to everything. And, you know, I would say back then I was probably in the middle of left and right. And since then I have become very far right. I'm not an extreme right or anything like that. I'm a constitutionalist, and I believe that we should be following the laws of the Constitution and we shouldn't be changing it. It was written for a reason, and it served our country for almost 200 years very well, almost 300 years, and there's no reason to be changing it now. But I think Americans and Canadians have a lot of the same problems. We have the same people that are trying to push their agendas in our countries, and we have to pay close attention to each other now. And I had no clue on anything about Canada. Like I told Chad, I just knew that y'all said A a lot, and I knew that y'all played a lot of hockey up there, and it was cold as shit. So the last year and a half, I've really started paying more attention to you guys' politics up there. And I realized that there's nothing different. The only thing different is we have a constitution here. Our constitution is a little more upfront, and they have to follow it more. But like I said, there's the same agenda against everybody. The whole world has the same agenda against it right now. And North America really needs to unite, and we need to fight this together. So I keep going on, but that's my thoughts on it all.
So, John, you know, explain to us, because, you know, you live in Ottawa, so you get to see all these, I'm not even going to mention
clowns.
I really want to think about it, but, yeah, clowns. But, you know, explain to us what you know about the Charter of Rights.
The Charter of Rights, that's an interesting
freedoms.
Question. treat us well. If you go on Canley or you go on any of our statutes, especially the Bill of Rights, more important than the Charter of Rights, just I'll talk about that. But the word freedom is mentioned in our laws many, many times. It's not just something that you scream on the street. It's literally a legal principle of rights guaranteed to us. Freedom of association, of speech, in the Canadian Bill of Rights, it says speech, not expression. So freedom of speech, expression, freedom of association, assembly, freedom of religion, you know, freedom of the press, which means doing what we're doing right now. These are things that are very important to a free and functioning society, right? So when they attack freedom, it's an attack on everything that has built our society. It's an attack on good-paying jobs. It's an attack on functioning, healthy families. It's an attack on friendships, on the future. It's an attack on everything and that has been and ever will be in our countries, right? We're not going to be a technocracy. We're not going to be under a feudal lord, Bill Gates or something. That's not something I'm going to allow.
That's what they want. They want proletariatism. They want socialism. They want communism. They want a one world order. They want us all under the same rules, under the same laws. They want everybody having to do the same thing. They don't want us to own shit. I made a video the other day about the RV parks popping up everywhere for campers, you know, because everybody here, I don't know how it is there, but you have thousands of people selling their houses now and literally selling everything they have. They're buying campers and they're moving into campsites because they see what's coming. They see what's coming or they're already being pushed out of their houses. You have these, you know, BlackRock, Vanguard, you know, all these companies coming in and buying the houses up at ridiculously high prices. They're pushing us out. So they have the same wants and goals for all of us. That's for sure.
You mentioned BlackRock there. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, John. Go ahead.
Okay, so this is a quick comment because I'm sure you got something interesting to add. You mentioned BlackRock there. They're just pure evil, buying up entire subdivisions across Canada and the U.S., splitting, you know, duplexes with a basement, bungalows with a basement into two permanent rental units in entire neighborhoods, not a single owned house, all BlackRock properties renting permanently. It's just a total dystopian nightmare fuel. What an awful situation.
It is. That's exactly what they're doing, though. And they're even leaving these houses. You know, half of them are sitting empty. It's crazy, but that's what they want. They want people living in their campers. They want people renting everything. That's what they want. And if you look into the WEF goals in their agenda, they tell you that. They don't want you to own anything. They want you to rent everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything. They want you to rent your phone. If you pay attention, the last 5-6 years, you don't buy your phones anymore. They add it to your plan and you rent it basically, and everything that we have is going to be rented. And I mean, if we allow them to get away with what they want, they'll be the social credit score, and basically you won't even be able to rent something if you aren't a good boy or a good girl and you don't go by the laws. Yeah, rent clothes, exactly. They want us to rent everything. They don't want us to own shit. Like I said, once they get their social credit score and their credit system going, then they will be able to stop people from getting certain things because you don't deserve it in their eyes. So it's a slippery slope where we're headed, and we really need to we've got to unite. We have to figure this. We've got to figure this out. It's not a left or a right thing. This is a people thing, and they're coming for us all. They're just coming for us first because we're standing up and we're speaking out against it.
Just like Alex Jones. I mean, that's what happened to him, right?
Yeah, that's what happens to every one of them. Look at Marjorie Taylor Greene. They just literally put her through the fucking ringer here in the United States because they're trying to put January 6th on her. If they can't put it on Trump, they want to put it on her. And they demonize everyone that is a threat. It's fucking ridiculous. They're spending millions of our dollars. Go ahead, John.
I want to just quick talk about the election real quick. Go back to that because that has got to be one of the biggest theater performances in history. I mean, everyone goes to bed, Donald's the winner. We wake up, it's the new winner. Like, since when did elections become like a multi-day, you got the pipe bursting in Georgia at the counting center because Stacey Abrams or something flushed the toilet too much or something, whatever they said. And then you got the ballot bags coming in at the middle of night with like 100,000 ballots in Michigan or wherever it was, like just ridiculous criminal activity of the highest order. You've got all the state houses refusing to audit anything authentically. We've got the state high heavens, like you said earlier, you have Joe Biden hosting rallies in Delaware with the local Jeep dealership in attendance. Like, none of that made any kind of sense. Like, it was just the most bizarre old thing you'd ever seen. And just to finish that point, just to fast forward to January 6th, they call it an insurrection. I've never seen insurrectionists walk through a building and follow the little guidelines, the little guide ribbons, you know, for people to walk through and take pictures of historical things, right? Like, I've never seen an insurrection like that out of this world.
Me neither, man. And like you said, the biggest thing about the election that gets me is that we, the American people, thought that if we just sat back, the people that caused the problem, the people that stole the election, the people that were okay with it, were going to fix it. You know, we've sat back for 2 years now and let them ruin our country and did absolutely nothing about the stolen election.
That was the saddest thing to watch.
It's sad to me. It really is, because we literally sat there, watched our election stolen. You've got millions and millions of people that absolutely agree that our election was stolen, and we sat back and waited for the corrupt government to fix itself and to say that the election was stolen, when we the people have the power to stand up by the millions and go to the streets. And it didn't have to be violent. You know, that's what January 6th, that's where I'm getting, though. That's what January 6th was all about. They wanted to make sure that the patriots and the American people were going to sit down and shut the fuck up, because if not, we will put you in political prison and we will hold you there. And that's what January 6th was about. It was to scare us. It was to get us to shut up. And it worked for a lot of people. It really did, and it's sad. It's sad that we watched it happen and we let it happen. But that's my thoughts on January 6th. That's what it was for. But the same people that was in January 6th that were actual insurrectionists were the same ones that were in that fucking U-Haul that they caught in, what, U-Haul or Idaho yesterday? Same people. Same exact guys, I'm sure. That's why they didn't pull their masks off. That's why they didn't pull their sunglasses and hats off.
Oh, you watch that and you just laugh. I caught a sight of that the other day with the U-Haul there, and I'm just like, wow. Yeah, they're going to go around with riot shields and billy clubs and beat on people with their logo plastered on their shirts. Like, what a joke. Like, who writes this script? Fire the writer, man.
How long have you been on TikTok, John?
Me? I created my account on April 5th, I think, because during the convoy protest, it was all about the protest. I didn't have a concept of creating a documentation of it. But then, like, after the fact, I was like, well, you know, people need the information here. Obviously, we have quick shout-outs. We got Dacey Media on the ground. He's amazing, first-hand, really good, steady hands. I've got an essential tremor, so my hands are shaking, but he gets stable video. I'm more of the commentary type. And then you got lots of great people who've come and gone to Ottawa. Got Shed. We've got, you know, so many amazing patriots who just love this country to death. It'd be impossible to name them all, but every single one of them, especially the people who are downtown. Let me mention real quick, even today, probably Brian Dirksen, the last trucker who actually was in the convoy, who is still downtown. They arrested him on the 31st of May for obstruction because some cops.
Yep.
Came up to him. They basically had a little Mexican showdown there, and they started tossing all his cards and letters that, you know, if you were at the convoy as a trucker, you know, you got lots of cards and letters from all the kids and everything. They started taking his framed pictures of those and tossing them in the garbage. So he reaches into the pickup truck and grabs one of them, and they arrested him on the spot, obstruction. So that's the kind of show trial, that's the kind of Soviet prosecution we're dealing with here in Canada, in Ottawa. That's what we're up against. I mean, we're in trouble up here.
I saw him taking your gas cans away from you and and trying to arrest people for bringing gas and food in there. It's ridiculous. And that's why I say that our Second Amendment, they won't try that kind of shit with us, because they know that there's going to be a group of rowdy motherfuckers that go out there and say, hey, we're bringing the gas in here. You're not going to stop us. There's nothing illegal about bringing gas in here. We have the right to protest, and we have the right to free speech. But Americans have been pussies. I watched Australia. I watched Canada. I watched so many countries stand up and say, and I'm not saying that we didn't have our convoy, but if we really wanted to do something, Americans would go down to our southern border, and we would stop these people from crossing our border, and we would make a show and a stance and say, hey, our federal government won't do it, the American people will do it. And we're not united enough. We don't have enough. We get up, we go to work, we come home to our families, and we think our government's going to fix itself. And
you're too comfortable.
It's not fixing
That's
anything.
What it is.
But yeah, what I was going to ask you though, John, is you said you've been on since April. So your name is Patriot Smoothie. So how many groups of guys have you had that asked you to go jump in a U-Haul van with some cargo khaki pants and blue shirts and some, you know, mask on? How many people have asked you to go do this, fight tyranny with some sticks?
I'm not involved in those Craigslist. I never respond to those Craigslist postings, I'm afraid, for the crisis actors needed.
Exactly, man.
So, zero, unfortunately.
It's insane. I was telling Chad, though, we're catching them before they even get away with it. They start these things and they try to get away with something, and we're catching them before they can even get away with what they're wanting to go with, because we have so many people that are awake and that are onto their bullshit. So I love that.
But, you know, see, the problem is people have a real hard time believing that their government could do these things, these false flags, these crisis actors. You know, there's been many times we saw pictures of the same person died three times, you know, and, you know, a lot of these tragedies, I mean, they are real I can't even say that word tonight, tragedies. But anyways, you know, they are, but people don't understand, like MK Ultra. They don't understand the corruption that, you know, the CIA and military types. You know, we here in Canada, we had our own military come out and said that during COVID, during the pandemic, they took advantage to use propaganda against us, the Canadian people. What's your thoughts on that, John?
Oh, they did the same thing in the U.S. with the, what is it called, the Defense Authorization Act or whatever, starting in 2013, I believe,
exactly.
Where they made it lawful to use propaganda domestically in the U.S. So, you know, we're up against a well-oiled, well-funded machine here that's got more money than we could ever imagine. But you know what they don't have? They don't have the truth. And the truth itself is a damn powerful thing that cuts through dimondium, the most fictitious, strong element you can imagine. And the truth just cuts in half like a hot piece of butter. So that's what they don't have.
Absolutely.
They'll never have it, and it drives them crazy.
And you can have all the money in the world, and like you said, if you don't have the truth and you have people like us that are willing to put themselves out there and put themselves on the line and spread the truth, then we can really put a dent in their plans. And another thing they don't have the numbers. If we unite, there is nothing that these people can do except for run and hide in the deepest fucking cave that they could find. Because once the people unite, there's not going to be a place any of these people can go and be safe. Because people are going to find out what they've done, what they've been doing for the last 50, 60, 70 to 100 years. And I'm telling you, there's thousands of people. And like I said, there's not enough of them. There's thousands of them, and there's hundreds of millions of us. Once the people see through their bullshit, there's not a place they can hide. There's not a rock that will be left unturned that they could hide under. And I can't wait for that day. I hope I live to see that day.
I mean, and sorry, Jody, go ahead.
What I was going to say was a lot of people don't know that, and I was surprised to learn myself. John, I may be coming to Ottawa in July. We'll see what happens. But
You know, a lot of people didn't know that the first police chief there, he was tied up with the United Nations, boast. I mean, he got fired or let go from the Toronto Police Services. I mean, it was an embarrassment down, you know, when all this was going on. But, you know, and then the Ottawa mayor was a former FBI agent. Have you heard anything about that?
About Jim Watson being a FBI agent? No, I'm not saying it's not true. I've never heard that, but there's a lot of ridiculous connections around here.
Well, and that was the thing. That was what I was getting at. I'm not sure if he was the FBI or former FBI. I can't remember when I read the story, and I actually checked into it and looked up on it, but that was quite a while ago. But I do know that the former police chief there, he was heavily into the United Nations, all this stuff. And then when I found that out about the mayor and saw his actions, of course, I'm like, why are all these people put in place in Ottawa? And then it made me think about members of parliament and all these things. You know, I mean, we are so corrupted here in our own parliament, you know, with I know Iran was bragging of having spies, you know, as elected MPs. I don't know if you've even heard that back in the day, but
did you hear that video from I think it was like February 20th or something? One of the MPs called in and talked about Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. Very clear audio. And then the Speaker of the House was like, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. We have to let you go. Sorry, can't hear you. It was like, what is going on with our world here, man? Take heed to protect the big players.
You mentioned Alex Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, they make Alex Jones out to be... You know, I actually believe that they are doing something to his mind right now. I believe he had the truth. They're after him. They didn't mind him so much for all those years. But when he start really hitting the targets, they start to make him look crazy. And now I actually believe they're doing something to make him crazy because he's really starting to lose it.
I mean, you know, when you're right that much about things so dark, it really gets to you, I guess. But there's a saying going around in the old communities that I was a part of, the meme smiths, the meme wars. Shout out to all my meme warriors from the great meme wars, 2016-2020. But again, there's a saying we had, and it was, of all the words of spoken in pen, the saddest are Alex Jones is right again. Because it's a sad thing that, you know, these schizophrenic almost banter is correct the vast majority of the time, that we have a one-world government trying to subjugate everyone, you know, using any means possible, disease, death, whatever they can think of, whatever they can have at their disposal, just to get us back to a state of feudalism where they're the lords and we're the peasantry. We own nothing and we're happy, the serfs.
Well, you know, it sure is an absolute, it's a scary thing. You know, to think that, I mean, he was down, he was the first to break about Bohemian Grove, and why are all these powerful people meeting down there, putting on costumes and worshiping, you know, whatever it is they were doing down there. And, I mean, he broke out, he was the first to talk about the one world government, and, you know, he's been right about a lot of stuff, and I look at him now, and he looks like he's imploding, looks like he's falling apart. And I just can't help but wonder if they make him look crazy now, you know, maybe it'll discount everything else he said. Because I can guarantee if people are now are going back to everything he reported on and it's giving some credence to it.
Okay.
We have
Sorry, I was just saying.
So here in Canada.
Yeah, we owe him an apology. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. We owe Alex Jones a huge apology. In fact, we owe him the key to all the cities in the world. But, you know, we have our own Alex Jones sort of in Canada. There's this guy called Jeremy McKenzie. He hosts a radio show called, well, a podcast type thing called The Raging Dissident. And he was a former member of, I believe, of the Royal Canadian Regiment. I might have got that wrong. Yeah, I do believe it's RCR. Don't remember. But he served in Afghanistan, a really upstanding guy. But the federal government is really just going to town on this guy with CSIS. They're sending CSIS agents to his friends across the country. They got RCMP going on his property all the time. Like, they're doing this to an innocent Canadian citizen, who's speaking out. You know, he's the Diagolon guy, right? Like he's got Diagolon, and that's a fictional thing. And look at what the government is doing him over. They have CSIS probing his entire life. They have the RCMP harassing him. They have people like in strange costumes following him in parks. It's just an absolute train wreck of a situation. And this is just for a regular Canadian soldier, you know, former soldier who's speaking his truth. That's what our government does to us when we speak the truth.
Well, you know, and I don't know if you know much about him, Michael, but I've gotten bits and pieces, so I'm going to ask John to explain this Diagolon thing to us. But, you know, I've saw some of his videos. They quickly take him down. He's very powerful. He's got a very powerful presence, and he is much reference to Alex Jones. So explain this Diagolon to us.
Well, I'm not the biggest. I'll be honest. Some of his streams go on for a long time. I'm not the biggest fan in the world. I do respect the guy, but from what I understand, it's like some fictional meme country in his world that he uses as like an example of a cuckdom of basically of all the things that are wrong with the left. That would be Circulon. The Diagolons are the good ones. They're the ones who have like traditional families and, you know, they're not falling apart and they don't have hyperinflation and they're strong values, good borders, stuff like that. And the Circulons are everyone else. And basically, you know, the Canadian government is attached to this and they're like, oh, this is a white supremacist fantasy fiction. And they're just completely demonizing this guy. They actually mentioned him in Parliament a few times in May, and I think even this month, as an example of, like, white supremacist terrorism or something. Like, they're just completely off their rocker, these NDP liberal people in Parliament, these Green Party, these Bloc Québécois, whatever they are. And they're using this you know, this relatively small Canadian influencer. They're trying to nail him to the cross as some example of white supremacy. It's just a complete fabrication. It's not true. And they don't even understand memes. So, I mean, how do you deal with someone who's that dumb? What do you say to them?
I don't know. Just ask Trudeau. So, Michael, have you heard about this Diagolon guy? I mean, I've seen him. I've seen his screen presence. And, again, he just looks like a raving lunatic, probably much like I do in some of my TikToks. But he definitely got a presence. And I heard that the police and the CSIS and everybody was really, really going after him. I mean, big time. He must have been saying something, you know. He must be hitting the nail on the head somewhere.
He must be, because I haven't heard about it. I haven't seen anything. I'm going to go watch something just to so I can catch up on it. But that's exactly what they do to people. They demonize us, and they try to scare the shit out of you so that more people don't do it. And if they can do that with the few that do it now, then they'll stop the rest from standing up. But that's what we have to do. We have to keep standing up. We have to keep speaking out, and we have to protect people that do. People that don't want to stand up and speak out, they're going to have to help protect them, because we need people to not fear our government. Our government is supposed to fear us. We're not supposed to fear them. They work for us, not the other way around. And they need to be reminded of that. And we, the people, hold the power of reminding them that. It's just getting everyone together and getting them to do it. I don't know. I don't know if it's, you know, laziness. I don't know what it is that stops people from uniting, other than the fact that they have separated us so far with all their issues with, you know, black versus white, liberal versus Republican, and then with COVID coming through, they couldn't separate us enough. So then with COVID, they said, you know, you can't go around grandma, you can't go to your mom and dad's for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and they separated us that way. So now people don't even visit each other, they don't have conversations, and quite frankly, some of them are still wearing masks and some are still scared to be in the house with people. And it's really sad that they've brainwashed us and made us think that that's the way that things should be, because they shouldn't. We have to be having conversations. We have to be talking to each other. We have to be building communities. You know, there's other countries that literally their front yards don't have grass in them. They grow plants. And this neighbor grows tomatoes. This one grows zucchini. That one grows squash and watermelons and so on and so on. And they get together and they go through and help each other take care of their gardens. And what we should be doing. We shouldn't be relying on our governments and our everybody to feed us. And there's so much that we could be doing if we could just
unite, but they work so hard at keeping us apart and scaring the shit out of us from speaking out and standing up that they're winning, that they win because they've got us that way. It sucks, but it is, you know, it is what it is.
John, have you always, been a conservative, or are you a conservative? Are you in the middle politically, if you don't mind me asking, you know, what's your – because I know Trudeau, a lot of liberals who are liberal, they got no time for Trudeau, they're actually speaking out, and sometimes we even confuse them for conservatives. But where do you stand politically?
I'll have the same question for you after I'm finished.
There's no wrong answer. Just no wrong answer. There's no wrong answer.
No. I'm good. For me, I'm on the right pretty solidly. I'm a libertarian. I describe myself sort of with libertarian values. I believe in everyone has the right to make, you know, individual rights, individual responsibilities, smaller governments, less taxes. But I also have some hybrid beliefs a little bit on the left. Like, I believe that there is room for certain social supports for certain people, and that, you know, it's not all you're on your own, pull yourself up kind of thing. But I want smaller government and I want lower taxes. But I believe there's things that can be compromised for sure. And I have some other, liberal or you would call it progressive social views. But I also have quite a few conservative social views. Economically, I'm very conservative. Overall, I feel like I'm not a black and white person. I've got some, there's always a gray area, and that's where I draw myself. But I describe myself as a libertarian, a right-wing person. And for the last few federal elections, I'm a founding member of the PPC, so I'll put that out there. I've voted for them for the last elections ever since they've existed. In Ontario, I supported the Ontario Party this election cycle, not because I'm in 100% agreement with them, but because I felt like I just saw their presence more at the freedom events, which is the most important issue to me right now. Obviously, I voted for Doug Ford last time. I really regret that one because he ended up locking us down. And have I always been this way? Yeah, actually, I've pretty much maintained these beliefs my entire life. They're not the beliefs of my parents or of most of my peers. I grew up in Ottawa, obviously very liberal, very leftist city. People have very progressive views here. So I'm very unlike the people I grew up around, very unlike my family in my political thinking. I'm very individual, I believe. So what about yourself?
Well, you know, me, my daughter, you know, she's 20 years old and she's going to Queen's University. And we talk a lot on politics, and she's very, very center. And I say I'm center. She said, "No, Dad, you're not." You know, you're very much right. And, I don't know. Like, I try to be center, but my thoughts do lean right. I mean, obviously, I realize, you know, getting up and promising people the world and you're going to give them this, going to give them that, is not going to, solve everybody's problems. You know, I respected John Chrétien when he, back in the day, even at that time, I couldn't stand him for it. But, when he turned down going to Iraq, I was actually mad at him for it. But now when I look back and I see the mighty U.S. war machine and all that, I'm very impressed with it. I try to be center. I try to treat people, with respect the best I can. Hold on. I can hear someone typing in the background there, guys. it's just throwing me off. But I try to be center. So my daughter says, "No, Dad, you're very much right." But I do believe in equal justices. I believe in people should have a right to, be whatever you want to be. You know, we're in Canada. We're in a free land. If you want to be, 50 genders, 75 genders, you want to have purple hair, or whatever, however you want to live, you go ahead and live it. Just don't force it down my throat. You know, the biggest thing that the left used is to divide us is say that, we're homophobic or we're this or we're that. And that's not the case at all. I mean, if you're gay or transgender, I mean, you know, listen, you got to live your life the way you want to live it. And, I don't have to march with you. I don't have to agree with you. But that don't mean I don't respect you and I don't treat you as a human being and treat you by your character. And, I think that's where the left think we're you know, all racist, misogynist, you know, all the words. What about you, Michael?
Well, you know, I already told you I live by the Constitution. You know, I would say now if there was somebody that was on the left side that was reasonable and stuff, that I would vote for him, but I just don't think that anybody there is actually that way. You know, a lot of people like Tulsi Gabbard or whatever, and you know, she's just like Justin Trudeau. She was a WEF student and part of the World Economic Forum, and so I wouldn't trust anybody on the left side, but I do, on, you know, in politics-wise, I do think that, just like you, I want to be left alone. I don't want people telling me what I can and can't do. So I would say I'm libertarian in that style. There's a lot of things on the left that just don't bother me, you know, that people, that I think a lot of conservatives or a lot of people on the right don't really give a shit about. Really what we care about is leaving our fucking kids alone, quit forcing all that crap down our kids' throat, and you know, and as a Texan, as an American, leave our Second Amendment alone. Quit forcing gun legislation down our throats, because we're not giving in on that. But I think if more people could, if more people on the left could hear what you just said, Chad, and hear what John just said, I think that we could get along a lot better. But they won't let them hear our voices. They don't want to know that we want to have conversations with them, because, you know, they want to think that we're all racist. They want to think that we're all homophobics, and it's simply just not true. A lot of us are very open-minded, and like I said, don't have a problem with 95% of the things that the left stands for. Do we agree with it? Hell no. But is it something that we're willing to stand up and fight over? No. We can have conversations on it. Now, a few things I'm not willing to bend over on. But I'm not willing to let those two or three items or issues, you know, make me hate everybody on the left. We need some conversations. We need to be able to talk to each other, and it's just not happening. And, you know, I would say I'm guilty of it a lot, because in the first 6 months of me on TikTok, I called the left out a lot, and I talked shit to the left a lot, and, you know, I talked about anti-vaxxers or anti-maskers, you know, or, you know, them, you know, I would just mess with them because that's what they were calling us. And you know, but really I was just bringing division. And so I stepped back and looked at my content, and I had to, you know, that gets me a lot of likes and that gets me a lot of views, but I don't give a shit about likes and views. I want my message to stand for something. And when I look back at my video, I want to say either that made me laugh, or that made me think, and not, well, that just made me hate the other side. And so I think a lot more people need to just step back and look at what they're putting out, what they're saying, and try to bring more unity to the conversation so that we can have responsible, you know, just mature conversations with each other. And we have to know that we're not going to agree all the time. I don't agree with my wife most of the time on certain things, you know? She's a tree hugger on certain things, and we give each other shit all the time. But my best friend's a moderate Democrat. He's half black. Like, we have conversations. We just spent four nights together and in the same cabin, and we didn't get in one argument. And we had a lot of conversations about a lot of things. And I opened his eyes on some things, and he opened my eyes on some things. And if we can just do that with each other, we could get a lot further. But anyways, that's my stance, guys.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, Michael, you know, I really loved having, what was it, Swinging Left? Was that his name there? I really enjoyed having him on the show, because, you know, he really opened you up to, you know, it's nice to be able to have a conversation to show, you know, the other side, other than, you know, the left lunatic rants that we hear. You know, again, that's what we'll see. It's nice to have someone explain, like, hey, we agree on this, we agree on this, we agree on this. And he was very well balanced on that, and it was nice having him on. But John, you mentioned the founding member of the PPC. Wow, I didn't know that. I'm impressed. I think the only problem with the PPC is Maxine
Bermier there. I believe his heart's in the right place. I believe he's a good patriot. I think he just has a messaging problem. What about you?
Okay, so I'll specify that. So as the founding member thing was just something that happened when you I think I paid a small fee when they were forming. Like, I was one of the first people to join as a paying member, I guess. I wasn't involved in the formation of the party in any technical sense. I wanted to also comment on something you said a while ago. You said you say to your daughter that you're a centrist, and she says to you, no, you're on the right. I think what happened is you didn't move, you know, the line, the society moved to the left, and, you know, the Overton window shifted that way. And it was not an organic shift. It was a malicious shift because they see the politics of the left as a really easy way of dividing, you know, people when we're going after extreme agendas that people can't really normally find that they can't find equal ground on. And another thing I want to mention is you also talked about having conversations with the left. We have a very persistent counter protester who attends our events. Every time we're protesting, that she does the thing they call the ram ranching. And there was one specific day where I sat down with them on the hill, on the grass of Parliament. I think it was like March or April, and I sat there for like 3 hours, you know, just listening to them and trying to find a middle ground. But obviously, there was a huge amount of things we didn't agree with. But the first thing I said when I approached them, because obviously they were very timid of us, and they have a very different experience with the convoy than I did. The first thing I said to them was, I appreciate you being here because you don't have the right to protest me, then how can I have the right to protest my government? Like, we all have our rights to express ourselves here, and that's what I'm all about. So there's that. And I tried to maintain a modicum of respect with that person whenever I see them. But sometimes it can be tough. I mean, there's the shouting vulgarities and other things, you know, doing provocative things. But I'm not going to completely, you know, a lot of that is an act. It's just to try and, you know, satisfy the viewers on the live streams or whatever. But overall, I think you're a decent person. So I took a lot of heat for that. A lot of people called me an infiltrator and that. But I was just trying to find a middle ground, like you talked about there earlier. And I'll keep trying to do that whenever if it's possible. If it's not possible, then fine. But I'll try until I die to try and find that, you know, that compromise that saves society, right? Moving on from that, you asked me about Maxime Bernier and his electability. For Maxime, I think that a lot of his issue is, to be honest with you, to be frank, I think his very thick Francophone accent hurts him.
Yes.
I mean, Chrétien in the conservative spheres, because the conservative sphere is traditionally the West. You know, you have Alberta, Manitoba, places like that. So not so much out in Manitoba, there's Louis Riel and stuff there, but, you know, Alberta, of course, and I think his accent's a bit off-putting for some of the traditional Westerners, even if they don't consciously recognize it. I'm not saying it's a racist thing. I'm just saying it's different. And also, he could be hard to, like, it's hard for him to have the cadence and the passion in English that he has in French, right, because he's not a native English speaker. So there's a few issues there, but I think absolutely his messaging is 100% on the ball. Electable in Canada, I think maybe not, but that's not his fault. That's, you know, Canada's fault. And one thing Maxime has 100% done that we can all agree and be appreciative about is that he's moved the Overton window of our society. You know, he's moved, he's shifted the Conservative Party from being, you know, the new Liberal Party to, you know, back a little over the center line, and the convoy dragged it right back over to the right. And that's important because we need two distinct, at least, to have a, you know, a balanced political atmosphere when the entire mainstream is on the left. We need to have that counter to it. We need to have that opposition to the entire mainstream, which is left wing. Like, they have everything, every institution, every organization, every corporation. They are the establishment, and they need to be held accountable. And it's like, when our conservative, only federal conservative party, electable conservative party, is going to the left, it's like, no, we need that balance back, please.
Well,
yeah,
you know, I agree with you. You know, I like the PPC, you know, what they stand for on the platform. I think they should be going more to try and get people who are just regular moms and dads and just get the regular working man, find good articulate speakers, people who could stand up before a crowd and just draw them in, like speak with raw passion. Because that's one thing I realize over TikTok, you know, your passion sells. So, you know, if you're a politician, I mean, we look at Pierre Poilievre. I mean,
you know, people can say what they like about him, but he commands, he has something commanding about him. And I think that's what we need. I think you need to get to the regular Joe on the street who can stand up and say, listen, we're tired of watching our people go hungry while these fat cats up in Ottawa live high on the hog. We're getting sick and tired of having to choose between eating and paying the rent. We're getting, you know, if we get that messaging out, if you had people who could talk to do that, I think that party would take off.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's more of a Canadian problem because you tend to see that the American politicians, even disgusting ice cream Nancy Pelosi, you know, they can speak. But, like, whenever you watch a Canadian politician, like you said, it's like watching paint dry. It's like, who are they talking to? What is their message? It's like they're talking about the most incoherent nonsense ever, and they're not an ounce of passion in what they're saying. Like, that's why so many people just tuned out of Canadian politics. And I think that that was actually the point. That was what they wanted. They wanted people to not pay attention. And I'm taking it back to the convoy at the corner of Sussex and Wellington, where this man stood there, and he's like, he's 60-something, and he's a working-class guy, and he's like, I'm sorry that we fell asleep behind the wheel, and we let this happen. And part of the way that that happened is they made it so boring that to pay attention was painful, right? And now look at where we are.
Yeah, you know, I agree. And, you know, I just wanted to give a special shout-out to Robin Greville. I noticed her in the chat room there. You know, she's a great Canadian patriot. She did some shirts for us. I don't know if anybody has seen them, but I did a TikTok on it. It is in my profile. I mean, absolutely amazing. It's a badass patriot. She did one for Michael and I, and, you know, you guys not following her. It's at Robin Greville, Rockin' Robin. Pretty sure I got that name right, but you know, anybody listening, please check her out, check out her merchandise, and any of you patriots who have merchandise and you want us to promote it, listen, I'm more than happy to support any of your business, no matter what it is, whether it's patriot stuff or you know, regular stuff you sell online. You let us know and we'll do our best to push it for you.
Absolutely. I want to tell Robin thank you. I just got back from the family reunion and I had it waiting in the mailbox for me. It's a badass shirt, and I'm going to do a video with it, too, so she can see it. It's a little too hot right now for me to wear it, but I'll definitely enjoy it this winter. And I want to tell anybody that's called in that we've ignored, I want to say sorry. We get to talking, and we get to going, but we are paying attention to the phone lines now, so if anybody wants to call in, call in. We will accept the calls, and we will talk to you. And y'all have it back now.
Yeah, I think what we're going to do is, you know, maybe as we discuss production with Kim a little more, maybe in the last 45 minutes of the show, we'll open up the phone lines with the guests. And, you know, anybody listening, we're still trying to work out the bugs and figure this all out. I mean, we're not radio people. We don't know. We just got together, started talking, and it turned into what it is. And, I mean, we had some of the greatest guests on TikTok. I mean, you look at Harsh News. I mean, incredible, Small Bills, Big Red, you know, I mean, anybody who's anybody has been on the show. So we are continuing to improve. We're going to bring some of these people back. I mean, Chris was a big hit, and Conservative Ant was supposed to come on tonight, but Newsmax reached out to him, so good for him on that. And
I've got Kramer lined up for next week. He has said yes, he confirmed next Monday. So we'll have Kramer on next Monday. We do have a caller on hold right now. I just want to say John Smithy in the chat room.
I know
John
who this caller
says,
is,
Let's buy everyone's merch and not Wally World stuff. And I couldn't agree more,
exactly.
John. We need to be supporting each other and buying each other's stuff, and we need to let these big businesses know we don't need them. So on to that,
so
Kim. Go ahead and introduce them, please.
So we have a caller on. We have Rockin' Robin on with us.
Hell yeah.
Go ahead, Robin.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What is up, girl? How are you?
I'm great. How about you guys?
I am doing great. Chad, John?
Wonderful.
Well, John, have you seen Robin's merchandise? Have you had a chance to view it yet?
No, I haven't seen the merchandise yet, but I'm sure it's quite amazing.
It is, John. I just sent you a friend request here just a little while ago. I'm three rows, but I'm going to do a video, and I'm going to show everybody how badass her badass Patriot shirt is. It's awesome, man. It's got Canadian-American just mixture in there, and it couldn't be any – it's badass. It really is, and that's what it says on there. So thank you so much.
Oh, thanks,
really
guys. I love the video you did, Chad. I thought that was so sweet. I was like, oh, my God, I have to duet that. Like, how do I not duet that?
Well, don't duet mine because you'll catch a video violation for it. But just, you know, I'll definitely.
Well, like I care. I spent my entire high school life in detention, so that's fine.
So, Robin, do you have like a website that people could go to, or like what other things do you make? I mean, your work is incredible.
Well,
I love it.
It's funny that you say that. I'm actually working with Kim right now to get my website up.
Yeah.
So we're working together to get that up and running, and hopefully I'm going to have a whole bunch of stuff, like decals. I got lots of ideas.
Yeah. Awesome.
We have a question in. We have a question in the room, Robin. What is your TikTok handle?
Rockin.Robin. Or badass.patriot. Either one.
There you go.
Awesome.
Wow. Yeah, so I had a question. What are you guys thinking, like, about James Top? What's your guys' views on James Top? I got to meet them. They just came through the Sioux last week. I hosted half the crew here at my house. It was so interesting how they work. Like, they would come here and then leave at the place they ended and then march like 45 kilometers, then come back here and then continue and do that. And they're doing that all across Canada. So they're staying at somebody's place or house every 3 days and just continuing marching. It's incredible.
It is really
cool.
You
answer that one, John.
Okay. Well, it's obviously James Top. What a hero that guy is. Warrant officer, Canadian Army, 28 something years of service, completely disrespected by his chain of command, completely disrespected by our disgraceful Canadian government that's just disrespected us all. But you got to admire a guy who not only speaks the speak, but he also walks the walk literally across Canada, and not a single mention in the NMSM, of course, because it's not convenient to them. But you wait and you see here in Ottawa when he gets here, the 28th or the 30th, they're adjusting their arrival time because he's making such good time. But you wait and see. Like, the streets are going to be packed for this guy. We're going to show out. We're going to show up for this guy, true Canadian hero. You'll know his name. Your kids will know his name. Who is James Top?
Definitely. I totally agree. I know he has meetings on the 22nd of June. So he said whether he's there or not, somebody will pick him up, drive him to Ottawa for his meetings. I think he has meetings with 3 MPs so far. And then he'll go back to where he was and march in. And I think he said he's expected just before the 30th of June, I believe.
Far off, it would be the 30th. I've heard the 28th thrown around. I've heard the 30th. I think we'll know when it comes a bit closer, but it'll be definitely in and around that time period.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think he needs a lot more what word am I looking for here?
Exposure,
respect,
attention.
Exposure, attention, something. I think he needs a lot more of that because, I mean, I only served 3 years in the Army Reserves, and I know what it takes to speak out against your commanding officers, especially in uniform. Like, that takes some balls.
Yeah, I mean, look at Jose out of Belleville. I mean, she spoke up and said she didn't want to take the jab. And look at her. Her whole career, spent most of her life in the military, and now she's tossed aside like nothing. I have a lot of respect for her. And, you know, it's an absolute disgrace that our military, it's a hard place. I mean, who was that other one that got arrested? And Tom Murphy. We all remember the video of him being arrested down in front of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. I mean, that touched me in a way, you know, to think that that man fought for our country and was treated like that. I mean, it made me sick.
Oh, definitely.
Disgraceful.
Like, come on. Anyone who serves the country, like I said, I only served 3 years. A lot of these people are career military, war veterans. And to be treated like that by your own government, I'm like, really? You wanted them to fight for you, and now you're going to treat them like that?
Unfortunately, that's what they do to all of them. Even here in the state, we have thousands and thousands of them just living on the streets here because they can't afford housing, and they won't give them the help they need, you know?
I think the states is a lot worse. I mean, I've really looked into that, and I'm like, that is just so sad.
Yeah, 23 a day, killing themselves because they don't get the support, the help that they need when they come back here. And those guys signed a fucking dotted line and put their lives on the line for us to have the freedoms to do the things that we do. And that's how we treat them when they come home. It's absolutely disgusting. And I want to tell you, Robin, and anybody listening, I want to tell you thank you for your service. Either side, I don't care where you served. You put your name on the line, and I appreciate it. And thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I also think it's bad. Like, I've really noticed a difference in the, I want to say, the newer generations. Like, when I was younger, when you saw, you know, the soldiers standing there selling the poppies, they were almost all World War II veterans, almost all of them. And they you know, you buy the poppy from them, and I always used to go and say thank you for your service, and I don't see that anymore. Like, I don't see the young generation going up to these people and even talking to them.
I make it a point. Every time I see somebody with a veteran hat on or a Korea or Vietnam or any type of anything that tells me that they were in the service, I still make it a point to run over and tell them thank you for their service, give them a handshake. I make sure my kids see that. I make sure my kids know why I go and do that and let my kids know that those people put their lives on the line. They may have just gone over there. They may have just been a cook. They may have been a framer. They may have just worked construction, but they still put their name on the line and said that they were willing to put their life on the line for us. And there's a lot of people that didn't do that. And so anybody that did that, you know, I make sure to let them know that I support it and I appreciate it.
We definitely need more people like that.
We do. And, you know, GameStop, I think. So go ahead, Jody, please.
No, you go ahead, John. You're a guest, brother.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just so used to being polite, man. James Topp, I think he's a symptom, like touching on all that, he's a symptom of our society. He's not, that somebody like that could be treated so badly and that so many MPs, including Pierre Poilievre, everyone, would refuse to meet with him. It's just mind-boggling. Like, this guy's going to walk across the country after 28 years of service, multiple tours of Afghanistan, if I'm correct about that, you know, war veteran, and you're not going to give him the time of day. Even if you don't agree with his cause, you're not even going to give him like a 2 minutes, like, thank you, and sorry, I don't agree, but thanks for doing it. Thanks for everything else. Like, if James can't get respect, how can any of us? Right?
Well, I wonder about that Pierre Poilievre meeting. I mean, he is flying around the country, and I don't know. I only heard what I seen on TikTok, you know, and you know, whether he refused because he didn't have the time or he refused because he didn't want to. I don't know the story on it. But, I mean, James Topp, I am driving to Ontario in a couple of weeks, and I'm sure I may alter my trip to try and find him and maybe get to do a TikTok live because, to me, he's a real hero. I'm real proud of him. I want to support him any way I can, monetarily, whatever I could do to help him. You know, it's just a shame he's not getting more exposure.
We can fix that. We can totally fix that.
Yes, we can.
I have more people of my view.
Is Canadian. That's
go ahead, John.
So,
yeah,
when James was here, he did do a meet and greet with everyone, and he gave us like a slideshow and talked to us. And he did say that, like, he didn't give a reason, but he said he declined to meet with him. So that really kind of, like, I was never for Pierre because he's a lifetime politician. And I think anyone who's groomed to be a politician is groomed to lie, just tell you what you want to hear. But that really kind of tipped the scale there. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, I will tell you, Robin, I actually had conversations with Pierre a long time ago. I asked him, you know, I told him he should run for leader of the party. I said, I can't get behind O'Toole, you know, and he was like, no, I don't want that. You know, I have other plans or whatever the case was, family, whatever it was. But he, you know, he was telling me to get behind O'Toole. So when he come out and, you know, decided to run for PM, I don't know. I just think he's the man for the job. And, you know, he is a career politician, but, you know, for a long time he declined to take that position. And I think he had a lot of conservatives pushing him to take the job as PM. I mean, I could be wrong, but the fact that he would take the time to speak to little old me, just, I don't know, it just did something for me when it come to him.
And I agree, because there are a lot of I've been watching him very closely lately, and everything he's saying is the right thing. It's like, I agree with a lot of things he's saying, but I was kind of like, I couldn't understand why he wouldn't want to meet. I couldn't even understand why he wouldn't want to meet with James Topp at this time. Like, I think not only politically would that be good for him, but for Canadian people, that would be really good for him.
You know, politically, it's risky too, you know, because people could take that and say, look, James Topp, here's a man that, you know, a lot, we believe him to be a hero. But when you break, I can't remember James' story exactly, but wasn't he charged for speaking out while he was in uniform? Am I correct there?
Okay, so basically when you join the military, you take an oath. And one of the biggest oaths is you always obey orders from upper command. And when upper command tells you you need to be vaccinated and you refuse, you are disobeying orders. So that's basically what he was charged with.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, you know, politically, for a man like Pierre who's trying to bring in, you know, the centers and everything, I mean, they could really turn that into a PR nightmare for him. And I'm not standing up for Pierre Poilievre. I mean, I'm just thinking like a politician now, you know, that's how they work. They think of everything in risk and reward, and maybe thought the reward was probably better just to stay far off, appear to be far right, which is absolutely sad.
You know, That line of thinking is really dangerous, because it gives them excuses. And, like, we need to hold the people on the other side of the aisle accountable, but just as much and even more, we need to hold the people on our side accountable. Because if we want to actually fix the systemic issue that created this hellish situation we all find ourselves in, with our economy in the toilet, you know, society at each other's throats, we need to have some serious solutions here. We can't just keep doing the same thing, expecting different results. We're not insane, right? So, like, Pierre needs to be accountable for these things. There's no real good reason. Even if there was a scheduling conflict, Pierre, you know, James Topp marched across Canada, thousands of followers, loving, he's going to have a huge reception. That would take precedence, I think, unless his mom died on that day or something. You know, like, there's really nothing I can think of that would justify not staying, not paying, not making the time to see James, right? Like, there's nothing I can think of that would actually make sense.
I see what you're saying. Like, I understand what Chad is saying, and I understand what you're saying, because I'm the same way. Sometimes you have to have the balls to, you know what I mean, be the only one in the room that is saying something and everyone's against you. But I do understand what Chad's saying. Like, I understand that he's saying that he's afraid. I think he's afraid to take a side, I think he needs to be more like, and I don't know how many people follow, but like Trump, he had his own thing that he believed in, and he was never afraid to say it. Like, no matter who didn't like it, he was like, this is what I'm going to do. And I think Pierre needs to, I know he's worried about taking a side, but I think he needs to be that voice.
Okay, but how could he be worried about taking a side when he's already multiple times, you know, he's come in and he's made it clear that he supports the trucker convoy. So, like, how can he in one breath say he supports the trucker convoy but then not meet with James Poff? It just, it does not compute. There's some huge, like, we need, it needs, at the very least, he needs to explain why he thinks the way he does. He needs to explain why he's not meeting with them. He's like, oh, I have a serious, because it's of significant importance where it deserves an explanation.
I totally agree. You have to take a side. Eventually, you have to take a side. You have to pick a side. It doesn't even matter a side. You have to pick what your beliefs are and just stand with them, no matter what anyone is against you.
Yeah, you can't be this, like, flexible thing that fits everyone's desires all the time. You have to be someone who actually believes in something that people can stand with and say, you know what, this is what he believes in. He's not going to tell us what we want to hear. He's going to tell us what we need to hear, and he's going to be the person to solve our tough problems or help solve our tough problems, help us solve our own tough problems, right? He's not going to make more problems for us. What do you think, Teddy?
Well, you know, I think Pierre absolutely should explain himself on it. I mean, here we have a Canadian veteran marching across Canada. You know, I mean, you owe that man all the respect in the world. And I don't care, Trudeau himself should come down. You know, you don't have to agree with James Topp, but you could come down and say, you know, bring some attention. Here's a great Canadian. I would have more respect for Justin Trudeau if he went down and met James Topp than anything else. He would really surprise a lot of people if he'd done something like that.
That would be very healing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you guys have other people
on the line? I want to thank you for calling in. And, you know, we really appreciate you, Robin. You're part of our family. When you get your website up and going, between Michael, myself, and Kim, we're going to really promote your stuff. And, you know, start looking into some hats. I'd really like to get some nice hats going. And, you know, they'll be a big seller for you.
Oh, yeah, who doesn't love hats? It's been great talking to you guys.
Thank you for calling in.
I'll put you on my link and everything, Robin. Thank you so much. Have a great night. And
Thank you, you too.
Yeah, awesome. Have a great night. Kim, go ahead and let somebody in right quick. We're running out of time.
All right. Just waiting for – there we go. Hello, you're on. Hello?
DACA. Is it DACA? I don't know how to say her name.
Well, I guess she doesn't have her microphone working again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
let's
think we've got Mama Bear. Oh, yeah. Let's
one
let
more.
Mama Bear in for
a yep.
We've got a few minutes. Yep.
You got
hello?
Me. Hi,
hello?
Guys.
Hello.
Hey, Mama Bear, how are you?
Okay. I'm good. I'm good, guys. I'm good. I want to get into the maids thing and your guys' opinion on it. In the last couple days, I have literally lost my over this. I know of two people that have been contacted and offered maids because of their medical conditions.
Like a compensation?
No, that's the medically assisted death.
Wow, that's heavy.
You go ahead, John. That is very heavy.
Okay, so you know what? I'll throw my hat in this. So what do I think of the morality of medically assisted death? Okay, I have very sick people in my life, people with chronic COPD, for example, and I understand that at a certain point they get so uncomfortable with their life that they no longer want to fight it because, you know, like that, you can't even begin to imagine as a remotely healthy person what that kind of existence is like. So I can distantly imagine why someone might pursue that. And I really am not extremely comfortable. Like, I don't think it's something that should be abused, but for like a very select few people who are in absolute agony, I know it's not biblically appropriate, but for people who live in total agony, like terminal cancer patients or people with chronic lifelong illnesses that have fought them for decades and who are very tired, I feel absolutely, you know, maybe that should be an option for them. But for like, for, you know, you say you're depressed for a couple of weeks and then, you know, your doctor says, oh, why don't you go kill yourself? Absolutely don't agree with that nonsense. I know that there's been examples of that being pushed on some people, you know, who had depression or something. Their doctor's like, well, why don't you just go end your life? And then you get two doctors signing off on it, and you're good, and you're dead, and euthanized like a rabid dog in an alleyway. So absolutely don't agree with that path of it. That's my take on it.
Well, okay. You know, John, that's a great. We want to get to all of our callers tonight, Mama Bear. Thanks for the question. We really appreciate it. Who do you have up next there, Kim?
You sound like a sweetheart.
One more thing. Chad, on your live tonight, there was a guy pop in, David Eldrick. He got booted and blocked. I assume they thought he was a troll, but he wasn't.
Okay. My apologies to him.
No problem, because I kind of got a text message like, what just happened? But anyway, we will talk to you guys later. You have yourselves a good night.
All right. Thank you.
You know, just later, to guys. Say that, Mama.
Yeah.
What happens sometimes, we got a bunch of different moderators on there, and sometimes could make a mistake. So if you are
understand it.
Give them my apologies.
I will, dear, and we understand it completely.
Thank you. Bring in our next guest.
All right. Hello, you're on.
Hello. Is that me?
Yep,
yeah.
That's you.
Hi, guys. Okay, Ken USA here. Nice to hear you on here, Chad, Kim, John. I just want to back up a little bit to what Robin was saying earlier about James Topp. Because I know she seems to be a little bit on his side, and again the same thing with you, Chad. I mean, you folks seem to have an admiration for Polyev. On a personal note, I mean, I've done a lot of research on Polyev, and I can honestly say he's not what people think he is. But again, this is my opinion, so I'm going to let everybody else do their research on that. At the same time, what you had mentioned earlier there about James Topp coming in at the end of the month, and yes, he is scheduled in there for the 30th. However, again, like John had said, it's debatable because they are making fantastic time coming across Ontario. So that's a wahoo for me. I got a lot of posts on my page for James Topp on TikTok, and I mean, the man is an absolute hero. He's a Terry Fox in the modern society, that's for sure. But I wanted to make one comment, if I could, just to keep it short. The one thing I've noticed about what James Topp is doing is he's been trying to get a hold of Congress, Parliament, I should say, in order to make arrangements to meet up with a lot of these so-called politicians. And the unfortunate thing here is this is a huge, huge disrespect for not only James Topp, but for every veteran who has ever come before him. I mean, when you turn your back on any individual, I think you said this yourself there, Chad, is that, you know, if they can't show respect for one veteran, how in the world are they going to show any respect for any civilian of this country at all, period, zilch, none. So my hat goes off to James Topp, and I'm looking forward to July 1st because, I mean, it's going to be one hell of a celebration with him in town.
Oh, it will be. It will be. And I hope you're there too, Chadio.
Well, you know,
I agree. I think James Topp, you know, I would love to have him on the show, and you know, where we could all question him and talk to him. And another one, if anybody knows that great patriot, Tom Murphy, I would love to track him down and get him. And same with that Durham Region officer. Do you know her name, John?
It escapes me, but I know who you're talking about. They had a she's facing disciplinary hearing. Yeah.
I think you can get her name off of police on guard, Chad.
That'd be a good idea.
I wonder how we would contact her because, you know, she did an amazing job. She come out and, you know, it's sad. Like, you know, we all understand you got rules and stuff, but what she did wasn't that bad. I mean, she just said that, you know, we support you. We support the convoy and come have a safe time. But whatever it was, you know, I remember seeing that video at the time. I didn't think it was that bad. And for them to ruin her career over it, you know, it's all politics.
And meanwhile, you have the RCMP officers of the musical ride gloating in their private chats about making us hear their jackboots on the ground. Not a single disciplinary action for any of those stooges in the RCMP musical ride. Who think themselves kings among men. So, yeah.
Well, you know, John, and then the same one that was the king of all that was down beating up on that young girl down in the crowd. You remember, we all seen the videos going around. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for our police officers and people who serve, you know, in general. It's just sad that more of them don't have the courage to see what's going on and take a stand. If you look down in Ottawa, if those police officers had to lay down their batons and cross over the line, all of this would be over. That would give more people courage. You would see arrests. You would see Trudeau in cuffs. You would see the military kick in, all the intelligence. I mean, something big would happen, and that's all it would take would be one person to cross the line.
Absolutely.
Oh, exactly. If Canada was to follow the same suit that, if I recall correctly, I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was Italy, and the officers laid down their arms and they crossed over and they joined in with the protesters, and I mean that made a big impact over there. I think it was Italy. I'm not 100% sure. I'd have to check back into that, but you're absolutely right. I mean, if our authorities over here, such as in North America, I mean, all joined forces and they just made that one step to join in rather than oppose, that would put an end to all of this.
Well, big time. It would be over yesterday. They need to step up.
Well, thanks a lot for calling in. You know, Ken, we really appreciate you. And, you know, thanks for everybody listening tonight. And, John, I just one final question before we go.
Go ahead.
You know, what do you think of Dr. Tam talking about Trudeau saying that they're afraid to end the mandates because they're afraid that nobody will ever go back?
You know, I think the easiest way to answer this is ask you a question. Would you rather live the rest of your life in fear, or would you rather take a little bit of control of what power you have in this world? Take the risks that come with stepping outside every day and reap the rewards of that. Your children get to grow up with a proper sense of self, no mental issues, like, you know, caused by this these lockdown culture. And we can just get our lives back, get our economy back, get our gas below $2 a liter, you know, and grow and just live the lives that we were meant to live. Theresa Tam and Justin Trudeau are so far out of line, and I'm telling you, one day there will be justice. For these people, there will be peaceful justice, legal justice. They will face, you know, they will face the Canadian criminal justice system for what they've done, and for the money that they've made and the games they've played. Guys, just if you say no, it's over. That's all you got to do is say no. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
do not
know, John, I agree. I think the time of the mandates is finished. We are done. If you look up the definition, they might have changed it now on Google, but when all this happened, you look up when does the pandemic end, it had, you know, the virus goes away or this happens, that happens. But one of the reasons was if the people are tired of it. And I think that we, the people, are sick and tired of it. We're not going to believe anything else what the government says. No matter how bad something comes out, we're not going to trust our hands in the government and their science that they follow, the liberal, the political science, not the real science.
Really sad.
Thank you so much.
Because the boy, the boy who cried wolf, right? Isn't that what you're saying, Chad? Basically, we can't trust them now. So if they come out with something, or something actually really comes out that's bad for us, and they come out and tell us that, we're not even going to fucking believe them, because they pushed this bullshit rhetoric. So, yeah, I agree 100%. But go ahead, John. We really appreciate you coming on the show tonight, man.
And like you said, the boy who cried wolf and nobody believing it, that could have all been part of the plan, to because they have done irreparable damage to our trust in the institutions, that's going to have generational consequences. There's so many there's so much damage they've done from this. There's very little good, if any. So once again, just say no, guys, and thank you so much for having me on tonight. I really appreciate it. Hopefully we get a chance to speak in the future at some point if it's appropriate. But good luck to you with this, and thank you so much again for having me.
Thank you, John.
Thank
John,
you
John, appreciated having you.
John, we really appreciate you taking us last minute, too. You've been an amazing guest, and you're the exact kind of guest that we want on this show, someone that's, could talk and got a good strong opinion and know where you stand in life, and we just want to wish you all the best, but we do want to have you on again, and we do want to extend the invitation. Anytime we have a guest on, you want to come in, throw your two cents, come into the chat room, just let us know that you're there and you want to come on, and we'll put you live on the air.
Thanks, man.
That sounds pretty cool.
All
right,
thanks
for having me.
Have a great
night,
John.
And Michael, so you have confirmed that we have Kramer. So anybody listening, know who Kramer is. that's going to be a good show. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, he'll be fired up. The election is tomorrow for Tom Heck. So after that, Kramer will be headed back home, and he'll be home, and he'll have all week to stew on this, so I can't wait. It's going to be a great show. It was a great show tonight. Really appreciate Patriot Smoothie coming on here. And, great show, guys. Enjoyed it. Y'all have a great night, and we'll catch you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Yes, sir. All right, Kim, take care. Thank you. Thank you,
okay.
Michael. Thanks to everybody listening. Yep. We really appreciate you.
Yeah, we do. All right. Have a great night. Bye.